I'm reading God's word this morning from the New King James Version, but if you've got the New International Version and you've picked it up from the lobby, it's on reading on page 373. It's 2 Kings and chapter 6, and we begin at the 8th verse and we read down to the 23rd verse. Now the king of Assyria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Assyrians are coming down there." Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he was warned him, and he was watching there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" One of the servants said, "None, my lord, O king. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots, and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, there was the army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all round Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. So it was, when they had come to Samaria, that Elisha said, "Lord, open their eyes of these men, that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and there they were, inside Samaria. Now the king of Israel saw them. He said to Elisha, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" But he answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food before and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." Then he prayed. Then they prepared great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Wow, what a message that is for even us today. And as we look at it later, we praise God that he is the God of all creation, who knows everything and knows all about us. Amen. I wonder if you have got a phobia about going to the opticians for an eye test. Some people got a phobia about going to the dentist. I know one friend of mine who had an abscess on his tooth, and he never went to a dentist. He didn't like going. He was a bit terrified of them. And he went to this dentist, and the dentist says, well, look, your tooth is barred, he said, but it needs to come out, but I can't do anything about it. You've got an abscess there. He said, I'll give you some tablets, he said, and that medicine to get rid of the abscess. And then when it's gone, he said, you come back. He never went back. The abscess was cleared, and that was it. He was afraid of dentists. But perhaps he might be afraid of going to an optician and having those eye tests and getting different things put on you in darkness, trying to see letters in front of you, perhaps if you're distant away. We have in our reading two incidents that speak about God, greatness of God. The one tells of his all-knowing, his omniscience, whilst the other of his great power, omnipotent. The first tells us of a plan of the king of Syria to invade Israel and come upon them unaware. We have that in the first section that we read earlier from verses 8 to 12. The second says that the Syrian king wanted to capture the king of Israel. And, capture the man of God, because he was telling the king of Israel where the king of Syria was getting his army to invade the land. And the king of Syria thought that there was a spy in the camp. I don't know about you, but have you ever wished that you were a flea or a fly on a wall when perhaps you have been for an interview and you've been asked to go outside while they consider the situation, and you wonder what's going on inside there, and you'd like to be a fly on the wall? Well, in this case, it seems as if Elisha is a fly on the wall. Why? Because God tells him exactly where these Syrians are. You see, God is a God who knows everything about us. We may try to hide things from people. We might try and put on a good face, dress up well. We might even think that being religious is good. You know, we come to church on a regular basis. You know, people think we are okay. We hear God's word being spoken. We listen to the word of God being spoken to our hearts. We sing the hymns. We even might bring a Bible and read it. But that in itself doesn't make us a Christian. Being a Christian is putting faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that he died on that cross at Calvary to save us from our sins. Well, what does that got to do with what we are reading this morning? Well, here's the situation. Here's this king of Syria. He wants to invade the land of Israel. And he sets out his plans. And we might set out our plans in our life. But you know, sometimes God goes against that and shuts doors. And I won't speak too much about that, because I'm going to speak about that again tonight. But we so easily try to do things ourselves without consulting God in our life. I've told you the story before, but I'll tell you again. I think it's a marvelous illustration. I went shopping in Sainsbury's up the road here. Parked our car in Sainsbury's, went and did our shopping, got back to the car, put our groceries in the car, got in the car, started the engine, it wouldn't work. Not a peep out of it. And after a while, Dawn said, don't try it too many times. She said, you'll flood the engine. So I left a while and tried again, and still it wouldn't work. She said, you'll have to call the green flag out. So I phoned the green flag. They said it'll be there in half an hour. And while we were waiting in the car, a friend of ours came along. She said, what are you doing sitting in the car? I said, well, it's not working. She said, have you prayed about it? So I felt like that. I said, no. She said, come on, she said. And she put her hand on the bonnet and she said, Lord, these people want to get home. Start the car up. She said, try it now. She went, she started. With that, the green flag chappie came round the corner. I said, I don't need you anymore. It's okay. But you see, it made me feel like that. You know, I'm supposed to be a Christian. I'm supposed to take things to God in prayer, to believe that he's able to do far above what we can even ask or even hope. It taught me a lesson. And it teaches people a lesson too. We try to do things ourselves instead of taking it to God in prayer, allowing Him to handle the situation, to help us as we need. So let us look at these two incidents here in this, by the Holy Spirit's guidance, and help us to apply their conclusion to our lives in the day and our, in our generation. There's a situation. Israel was being provoked by this king of Syria, and he wanted to capture them. And so he arranged plans to put his army in a certain place to capture the Israelites. And Elisha was told by God to tell the king of Israel not to go that place because the Syrians will be there. And we're told here that not only once, not only twice, but at least three times this has happened. You see, the Syrian king is troubled. What's happening here? There must be a spy in the camp. Somebody is against us. Somebody is for the king of Israel. They were the enemy. There's a spy in the camp. Elisha is like that fly on the wall that I spoke about earlier. He knows where the king of Israel is, where the king of Syria is. The king of Syria doesn't know where Elisha is, but Elisha knows where the king of Israel and his army is. And that's because he knew God. He was in tune with God. I wonder this morning, are you in tune with God? Have you come to that position where you realize that you need God in your life? That you can tried things yourselves and it has come to nothing. Yet God wants you to trust him, to allow him into your life. This is the challenge for us today. Do we know that we are in a relationship with God? Have we that true sense of knowing him, not just as a God up there that we can perhaps pray to on occasions, but one who comes and lives and reigns with us in our lives, through our lives? God knows all about us. You know, he's the one who created us and formed us. Do you have a knowledge of him in your life? Have you realized that you need him in your life? Because all of us have sinned. That's what Romans 3:23 says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are not right with God. There are things in our lives that we'd like to wipe out as if they never existed. You know, I've got writing on this paper, like sins. But you know what? They can be like that, white, cleansed, as if they never existed. Why? Because God wants us. He is omniscient. He knows all about us. Are you right with God? Have you come to that position where you turn to him? Here is a situation here. The Syrian army is there. And then the Syrian king wants to know, who is this Elisha? Let's get him. And somebody says, well, he lives in Dotham. Well, let's go and get him. So he sends an army. He sends a whole army with chariots. And you know, he goes to get one man, sends an army to get one man. But God knows about the situation. And the servant of Elisha, he goes out in the morning and he sees the army of Syria and all around him. And he says, Father, he said, well, what are we going to do? Well, what's up? He's fearful. And people in the world are fearful. You know, I watched the end of a film, a Deep Compound, I think it was called. It was a meteorite that's coming to Earth and he crashes and kills thousands of people. Why? Because they were fleeing from that situation and, wow, it was devastating. But you know, here's the situation. The servant of Elisha is saying, look, he sees the army around. And with these wonderful words that come from Elisha. And he says these tremendous words in verse 16. He says these wonderful words. Lord, open his eyes that he may see, because there are more with us than with them. And you see, as Christians, perhaps we don't realize that there are more with us than against us. You know, people around us, people who perhaps think that we are fools, people that think that, well, we're off our heads because we come to church on a Sunday. You know, we are our own people. We do our own things. You know, that's all these for little children or for old people. It's not for us. Do you know, God says, I'll open their eyes to see. And that's what Elisha says. Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes that he may see. And he opened his eyes and he saw the chariots of fire, the angels all round the camp. You see, we can be so fearful, can't we? We can be so different to God's word. And here's the situation. And the second is similar. Look what it says in verse 13 on. And sorry. Verse 13, he says this, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. He told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. And when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is this city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. Here's the situation. Lord, open his eyes that he may see, to his servant. And he saw. And then he says, Lord, close the eyes of these invaders. And he closes their eyes so they can't see. And then he says, follow me. Now, there seems to be something wrong here. How can they follow somebody when they can't see? But do you know what? God closes the eyes of people. He's done it to me a number of times. The incident when Doreen tells me to go upstairs to look for some dress or some skirt that she wants from upstairs in the wardrobe. And she says, it's in such and such a wardrobe, in such and such a place. And I go up, and it's not there. And I search, not only in that room, but every room. I can't find it. I go downstairs, I can't find it though. I know it's up there, she said. It's in that place. I put it there. So I go back upstairs, and there it is. I hadn't seen it before. So I take it down to Doreen. And you know, I think this is a similar thing here. In that sense, in that their eyes couldn't see what was on the road. They couldn't see because they were blinded, because God blinded their eyes in that particular way. And yet they could see to go to Samaria. And then when they got to Samaria, Elisha says, open their eyes, Lord. You see, this is our God, a God of all creation. He created us. He knows everything about us, and he is able to do far above what we can even ask or even think. Why? Because of who he is. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. That's our God. And if you know him as Lord and Savior, well, praise him. Thank him that you've come to that position where you know him as Lord and Savior of your life. But this morning, if you don't know him as Lord and Savior, like, well, turn to him in faith. Allow him to guide you and to lead you, that he might open your eyes to see. That's what they used to shout out in the revival times. I've seen the light. I've seen the light. It wasn't that somebody had switched the lights on and they were able to see. It was just that the God had opened their eyes to see the truths of God's word, to receive him as Lord and Savior of their life. And here is this army. And they want to get Elisha. And Elisha says, Lord, close their eyes. And he closes their eyes. And then he says, open their eyes, Lord. And he opens their eyes and they're able to see the glory, the majesty. There was a man called Bill Bathman. Perhaps you might have heard the name before. But he was an American, a Christian American, who believed God wanted him to take Bibles into the then communist lands of Europe. And Bill settled in Austria. And every now and then he would fill his car up with Bibles to different countries he was going in, either Poland or Hungary or Czechoslovakia. And he'd fill the car up with Bibles. He didn't hide them. He just put them in the boot and put them on the back seat. And he'd go in, come to the border. And the border guards would open the gates and let him through. Question him. Didn't look in his car even. Why? Because he was on God's mission. And I remember the pastor of the time, Tony Stone. You can remember Tony Stone. Tony went out to Bill Bathman, and he was taking Bibles in. And as they got to the border, two cars in front, they virtually ripped the car out. These guards ripped the car to pieces, trying to find contraband or anything that was wrong as far as the communists was thinking. And they looked at each other and said, well, what are they going to do to us? We've still got Bibles in the boot and on the back seat. And when they came to them, guards at the border said, can they have your passports, please? And they gave the passports, and they looked at the passports, opened the gate, said, wave them on, get them out, go on, let them go. And they said, well, what's the matter? But what they looked at was Tony Stone's passport. And on his passport, it said, Minister of Religion. And they thought he was a high-ranking officer in the Communist Party. And they didn't want to bother him, so they sent him in. And you see, God is able to do far above what we can even ask. He can close eyes for people to see, not to see things that he wants to see them. This is it. This is our God. This is how wonderful he is. What God is saying here today, has our eyes been opened to see his word? Or are they still blind to his word? Have our ears been deaf to the hearing of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do we allow God's word to penetrate deep into our hearts and into our souls? Do we love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our might? Remember that young man that came to Jesus in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and he says, what can I do that I may gain eternal life? And Jesus tells him six of the commandments. And he puts his hand up and he says, yes, I've done all those from my youth and upwards. What else do I need to do? And Jesus says, one thing you lack. Go home, sell all you have, give it away to the poor, and come, follow me. And we are told he went away sad because he had great possessions. He loved his possessions more than he loved the Lord. But you know, even the disciples turned around and said, well, if a rich man can't get to heaven, who can get to heaven? Or, says Jesus, with God, all things are possible. And here's the situation. The army comes. They want to invade the land. They want to capture the Israelites. And they have to go home with their tails behind them. Right? Why? Because God was in control. Is God in control of your life this morning? Have you come to that position where you trust him, even in the deepest situations that you might find yourselves in? I don't know if any of you have ever been to Big Pit, but if you have, well, I've been twice, and every time I've been there, when we were down there, all of a sudden, the guide tells us, I'm going to put all the lights out now. And I want you to put your hand in front of your face and tell me if you can see it. He puts all the lights out. We put our hands up and we say, no, we can't see it. And the hand is there in front of us, we can't see it. Why? Because the light is not there. Jesus, the light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free from the truth you may bring us. Shine on me. That's what Jesus wants of each and every one of us. To come to know him, to trust him, to allow him to reign in our hearts and in our lives. That he might be the preeminence in everything that we do or say. That he might permeate by this Holy Spirit into our lives, that we might live and reign for him. That's what he wants. Oh, there was a situation. It looked terrible at the time. But oh, how God turns it to bring glory and honor unto his name. He wants you, if you don't know him as Lord and Savior, to come to know him as your own personal Savior. That your hearts and your lives might be turned over to him and allow him to reign within. And you know, this verse 16 in this chapter is so real. Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. We see, we might be in a situation where around us, people don't want to bother with us because we are Christians. They may think we are over the top. We might think we were round the bend. We might think that we just make fun of them. They might not put us in prison, as in some countries. There's recently in a Bible study in Crofty, and one of the ladies there said, "Isn't it awful?" She said, "I've heard on my phone," she said, "that a congregation in China, the communist guards came in, they took everyone, put them in prison. After a week in prison, they let the congregation out, but the two pastors that were there are still in prison. We don't know what's happened to them. Why? Because they're against God and his word. But you know what? God says, greater is he who is with you than he who is in the world. Is that you this morning? Have you come to that position that you know and love him as your Lord and Savior? If you don't, well, turn to him in faith. Just like this young man, you know, he couldn't see him. He said, Father, he says, what shall we do? What shall we do? Lord, open his eyes. And he opened his eyes and he saw all the armies of God all round, the chariots of fire. You see, God is in control of this world's affair. Never mind what people might say. Presidents, kings, governments around the world may think they're in charge. But ultimately, God is in charge. And he will bring about his purposes and his will to bring glory and honor unto his name. Are you doing that in your life? Are you allowing him that place in your life that puts him first and allows yourself to follow? You know that little chorus they used to say with children, don't you? Jesus first, yourself others in between, yourself last. Joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. So that's what God wants of us. Is that you this morning? Look what happened here in this incident. It might seem so insignificant. It's only a matter of about 13 verses, 14 verses. And yet it's so powerful. Why? Because it tells people that God can close eyes and he can open them. He can close our hearts. He can open them. He can open our ears or he can close them. Whatever the situation, God is in control. Allow him to control your life by allowing Jesus to come in through the power of the Holy Spirit to live and reign in our hearts and in our lives. I'll close with reading just a few verses from Romans and chapter 8 and verses 31 onwards. This is what it says there in Romans 8 and verse 31 onwards. This is what it says. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore also has risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, we are for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, said Paul, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow, that's what you've got as a Christian. And if you know him and love him, hold on to it tight. Hold on to it tight, these promises of God. And you shall know him in a real and a wonderful way. Well, may God help us to see. God help us to hear that his word and soften our hearts to receive him as Lord and Savior of our life. Well, we praise God and thank him for all his love, mercy, and grace to us in Jesus.